see is my heart still beating. I'm breaking out of my body and flying away like a bat.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and just Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. Please don't call. No, I don't want to say please don't call, but please, if you're going to call, like, make sure that you've got something really, really important to say. Because I have no Shay tonight. Shay is off this week. She'll be back next week. So it's just me solo. And there is all new software running the station. I was not expecting all new software running the station when I told Shay she couldn't be here this week. So I'm sort of like trapped in a strange world where everything is vaguely familiar, but nothing is quite as it seems. That's not a bad metaphor for those of us who grew up in the 1980s and look around at the world that we find ourselves living in and say, wait, how did we get here? What is that? Why is any of this happening? Anyway, 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. We're going to do all the usual stuff that we do tonight. We're going to do the strangest thing from the past week, favorite thing from the past week. Your Boston five-day weather forecast will be coming your way in a little bit. And we're going to talk about the news, but it's going to be me. So hopefully you enjoy spending time with me and enjoy my perspective. If not, you can call 855-915-9636 and completely throw me off my game tonight. That's guaranteed. I am logging things here and hoping that they work because I don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work on this radio station this week. This will be an adventure for all of us. So we begin, as always, with local news. This from CBS Boston. Little advice. You may learn something valuable from this story if you are an entrepreneurial type. So I want you to pay careful attention to this. From CBS Boston, a Milton woman is facing federal charges after she allegedly ran a black market marijuana company worth $14 million. $14 million. Deanna Martin, 51, was arrested at her home on Canton Avenue Tuesday. The United States Attorney's Office said Martin operated Northern Herb out of that house and from locations in Hyde Park and Foxborough. The company's website sold several types of marijuana products with a minimum of $100 an order, according to court documents. Though Northern Herb offered medical marijuana, federal prosecutors say customers were not required to show a medical marijuana card to make a purchase. Packages were allegedly delivered to unattended homes or mailboxes where anyone could access the drugs. At least 25 people were employed at Northern Herb, an illegal marijuana delivery business employing 25 people with three locations and $14 million in revenue. All allegedly paid off the books. Of course, according to prosecutors, the company's revenue exceeded $14 million from 2016 to 2018, and Martin claimed an income of $80,000 per month. Quote, Martin allegedly used money from Northern Herb sales to pay more than $300,000 toward the mortgage on her house and to buy a 2017 Porsche Boxster, among other things, prosecutors said. Northern Herb did not withhold or pay taxes on its marijuana sales, investigators said. It's an illegal business. You're not going to withhold taxes. You're not going to pay your employees and have withholding because all of those things would alert the government to what you're doing. In an email referencing cannabis taxes being charged by one state, Martin allegedly wrote, quote, zero taxes is still better, end quote. Martin is charged with conspiring to distribute more than 100 kilograms of marijuana. She faces at least 5 years in jail and a possible fine of up to $5 million. She was arraigned in U.S. District Court in Boston on Tuesday afternoon and released on several conditions, including handing over her passport. According to court documents, federal agents searched her home back in August. Her attorney, Brad Bailey, told WBZ-TV they were expecting her to be arrested. Quote, she has every intention of pleading not guilty to all the allegations in this case, end quote. She's planning a vigorous and aggressive defense down the line, but this is so preliminary. This is so preliminary, is what the attorney is saying. This arrest, this grand jury indictment, it's so preliminary. We always suspected there was some kind of shenanigans going on, a neighbor of Martin's told WBZ. I wasn't surprised because there's always a lot of cars coming in and out of that house. Yes, it would seem there were 25 cars plus Martin's Porsche Boxster coming and going from the house running the illegal medical marijuana delivery business. Now, I bring this up for two reasons. Number one, some of you are thinking, hey, I could run a marijuana business now, and that will make me money, and it's legal, so I can get away with it. No. You need state licenses. You need approval. You need all sorts of things to be a legitimate marijuana delivery business. Otherwise, you are still a drug dealer. And while the limits on medical marijuana and personal use marijuana in the Commonwealth are pretty generous, the penalties for possession with intent to distribute are still rather unpleasant. So you really don't want to find yourself on that side of the equation. Don't think you're going to start your own medical marijuana delivery business. This is the second business, by the way, that has been busted in the last couple of months. This one's interesting because she was doing this for years. And she's doing it out in the suburbs where really nobody's looking and nobody's paying attention. But the investigators did catch up with her. We had that other one in South Boston a few weeks ago where we had the underground smoke shop in Southie that was selling marijuana products. They were saying, oh, it's medical marijuana. It's like, no, you can't just start selling the stuff. You have to get a license. You have to get approved by the state to be a dispensary. You can't just be like, hey, you know, I'm the mobile marijuana store running out of the back of my car. That will get you in trouble. Please don't do that. The other reason I bring this up is you should not buy from these people. No one is probably going to prosecute you from buying from someone running a fake, legit marijuana delivery business. But you don't want to be in the neighborhood when the cops show up to slap on the cuffs, is what I'm saying. Because they're going to turn around and possibly slap the cuffs on you. And you're going to be like, hey, I saw the ad on Craigslist. I thought it was legit. And the police are going to be like, tell it to the judge. And then you got to go through a lot of nonsense before you can get your freedom back. So just as a general point, know who you're doing business with. There are a very, very small number of legitimate marijuana dispensary operations in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. There's one in Salem. There's one in Brookline. There's a couple out in the western part of the state. That's it. Okay. There are a few medical marijuana clubs scattered around the state. And that's where you want to go to get your marijuana. All of this is regulated. All of this is safe. The taxes are high. No one is arguing that point. But if you want to purchase this product legally and get it from people who will have your best interests at heart, that's a smart thing to do. Try not to patronize the person who is selling you marijuana out of the trunk of their station wagon or out of a basement storefront somewhere that, you know, you were walking down the street and some guy with a sign was like, hey, you want some marijuana? It's over there. Those are not the people that you want to be buying from. The people you want to be buying from are the people who are following the law, because you will get better product and you will eliminate the possibility of finding yourself in jail because you are associating with a known drug dealer. Yep. In other local news, fun day for the paparazzi today down around the federal courthouse. Aunt Becky and Felicity Huffman had their perp walk today from Associated Press via Boston CBS Local. Hollywood stars Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin appeared in federal court Wednesday alongside other wealthy parents to face charges they rigged test scores or paid bribes to cheat the admissions process at prestigious universities. Why, Aunt Becky? Why? Why? How could you? You're not quite the monster that Bill Cosby is, but you're someone else who earned our trust and won our hearts in the sitcom world and then turned around and did a very, very, very bad thing. And Candace Cameron Bure may be standing by you, and Bob Saget may be standing by you and saying, we love who we love. But for a lot of us, this is really, really bad. It shows poor judgment and a lack of character and vanity and selfishness and a lot of qualities that we just never associated with Aunt Becky before, but now we have to. Felicity Huffman was on Desperate Housewives, so yeah, of course. I mean, that'd be like a Kardashian getting arrested for this, you know? Lori Loughlin is the one that hurts. Felicity Huffman, everybody's sort of like, yeah, no, kind of, yeah, I can see that happening. But Lori Loughlin, people are like, Aunt Becky? Yeah, Aunt Becky, indicted. The actresses and Loughlin's fashion designer husband, Massimo Giannulli, said little during the brief hearing in a packed Boston courtroom and were not asked to enter a plea. They are all free on bail. Huffman, Loughlin, and Giannulli, whose Massimo clothing had long been a Target brand, have not publicly commented on the allegations. Huffman arrived at the courthouse late Wednesday morning, hours before the hearing was scheduled to begin. Loughlin arrived later to a large crowd of media, police, and fans, and someone who yelled, quote, pay for my tuition, Lori, end quote. Loughlin, who played Aunt Becky on the sitcom Full House in the 1980s and 90s, and Giannulli were accused of paying $500,000 to have their two daughters labeled as recruits to the University of Southern California crew team, even though neither participated in the sport. The Hallmark Channel, where Loughlin starred in popular holiday movies, and the series When Calls the Heart cut ties with Loughlin a day after her arrest. Loughlin and Giannulli's daughter, social media star Olivia Jade Giannulli, was dropped from advertising deals with cosmetics retailer Sephora and hair products company TRESemmé. Huffman, the Emmy Award-winning star of ABC's Desperate Housewives, is accused of paying $15,000 that she disguised as a charitable donation to cheat on her daughter's college entrance exam. Among the other parents in court Wednesday was Gordon Kaplan, former co-chairman of the international law firm Wilkie Farr & Gallagher, based in New York. Kaplan is accused of paying $75,000 to get a test supervisor to correct the answers on his daughter's ACT exam after she took it. Kaplan's firm said after his arrest that he has been placed on a leave of absence. The consultant at the center of the scheme, William Rick Singer, because Rick is a nickname for William now, pleaded guilty and is cooperating with investigators. Former Yale women's soccer coach Rudy Meredith also pleaded guilty. Several coaches pleaded not guilty, including tennis coach Gordon Ernst, who's accused of getting $2.7 million in bribes to designate at least 12 applicants as recruits to Georgetown. Now, this is corruption. This is how corruption happens. Somebody takes a pile of money, gives it to somebody else, and that somebody else takes that pile of money, pays off a bribe, and then kids are going to college. Now, the problem with that is that somewhere there is a kid who worked really hard, whose parents don't have bribe money, who did not get into college. There's an open question on some of this as to whether or not, because lawsuits have sprung up as a result of this Varsity Blues investigation. This is what it's called, Operation Varsity Blues, by the federal prosecutors. There is a question as to whether or not these kids, and we'll use Aunt Becky's daughters as an example, Lori Loughlin's daughters, as to whether or not they actually took anybody's place. Because the way that the scam worked in their case is the coach of the crew team is bribed and basically told, admit these girls to the crew team. So they are admitted as student athletes. And when colleges are figuring out their incoming freshman class, there are various slots for various things. And they have a census. We need X number of education majors, and we need X number of pre-med majors, and we need X number of pre-law majors. Oh, and the football coach says we need 20 kids, and the crew coach says we need 17 kids, and the tennis coach says we need 8 kids. So they figure out that number, okay? Like, how many kids do we need to do all these various things? And the coaches put forward how many people they need for various sports. Now, obviously, a college is not going to have a crew team, an 8-man crew team with 6 people on it, because that doesn't work. So you have to make sure that you have everybody that you need for the crew team. So there's a question in this case as to whether or not those were just sort of added on. Like, the coach is sitting there and he's like, well, I need 10 people. Like, Rick, get me your bribe money by April 15th, because that's when I have to put in my number for next year, and I need to know how many of your kids I'm adding to this total. So he actually needs 10 athletes, and he says, I need 12. Takes his bribe money and sneaks a couple more kids into the class. Now, if that's the case, then these lawsuits about, you know, legitimate, deserving kids getting denied a chance to go to a university kind of falls apart. In the case of Felicity Huffman, that's a little bit more obvious form of corruption, where you have bribed a test proctor, somebody who is administering an SAT exam or an advanced placement exam or any one of these exams, to look at the child's results and then fix them. That's a different thing. That's flat out straight corruption. And those fake test scores probably did help that child get into a college that she otherwise would not have been able to get into. I don't know why you don't just spend the money on test prep. Maybe they did, and maybe they didn't think that was good enough. I don't know why these parents are so obsessed with this idea that my child needs to go to this university, unless they are all wannabe Kardashians. And this is part of the whole thing. You know, I can't face my friends if my child isn't at USC. I couldn't possibly face my friends if my child had to go to a community college, or worse still, didn't go to college at all. That's unacceptable. And this is the thing. The kids didn't even know this was going on. Like, Olivia Jade had no idea that her parents had done this, and has stopped talking to her parents, is now living with her boyfriend and trying to salvage her reputation and get her spawn con back, which she's going to need to, because she doesn't seem to have any other skills in life other than being an online influencer. I don't mean that as a drag. I mean that as this is what we've seen from her. So this has broken up families, Because not because she wanted to go. Olivia Jade put out a video as soon as she got to USC saying, I don't really want to be here. I guess I'm going to go to class because I'm supposed to. But really, I'm all about this great dorm room full of Amazon products that I ordered on Amazon. And you can get them on Amazon. And maybe Amazon paid for this because Amazon. She doesn't even want to be there. And her parents have bribed her way in. And because her parents bribed her way in, her whole world is blown up. Like everything that she was doing, all of her influencer contracts are gone. She's a joke. She's a punchline. And she's going to continue to be a punchline for the immediate future. Now, will she come back from this? Yeah, probably. I expect that she will. But in the meantime, this is her parents' work. She didn't sit there and go, Mom, I have to go to USC. I really want to go to USC. Please get me into USC. I'll do anything to get into USC. No, her parents were like, you're going to USC. She's like, yeah, whatever. I gotta go make more SpawnCon for my Instagram channel and YouTube. Like, you tell me where to go and I'll be there. That's really the extent of her involvement in this. It's the parents. And why are the parents so hung up on this? What's the big deal? I mean, I can understand if you are a legacy, you know, if you are a Harvard legacy or you're a Yale legacy or whatever, and you want your child to go to that school because it continues a family tradition. Okay. The McCains all went to the Naval Academy because the McCains all fought in the Navy, you know, and it's sort of like John McCain shows up, the Naval Academy's like, come on in, son. We got a space for you. You get the same dorm room your father and your grandfather had. Welcome aboard, midshipman. A little tougher to get into Harvard or Yale. And make no mistake, some of those parents grease the wheels too. You know, Shea was talking about the library at Fordham University, paid for by a certain president of the United States who shall remain known as Donald Trump. He built them a library. And in exchange for him building them a library, they said, okay, Donald Trump Jr. can go here. Now, I don't know if Donald Trump Jr. had the grades to get in or not, but if you have the means to build a library or a dormitory or a new wing on a physics building or what have you, you're going to get your kid into the college. I have no problem with that. I have no issue with that at all because all you're doing is you're saying, look, I'm going to give you a building. You're going to admit my kid. You're going to increase the size of your incoming class by one. You're not displacing anybody. The university isn't like, well, you know, we had this minority child from a bad neighborhood with perfect SAT scores. But since you're giving us $1 million, we're going to boot that child out and take your kid. That's not how it works. That's not what happens. Donald Trump calls up Fordham University and says, hey, would you like a library? And they say, yes, we would like a library. A new library would be fantastic. And he says, you're going to admit my kid, right? They say, well, of course we are, Mr. Trump. I'll send my guys down to build a library tomorrow. Boom. Transaction complete. Okay, so Fordham gets a library that every student who goes to Fordham benefits from for decades to come. And Donald Trump's son gets an education at the university that Donald Trump wants him to get an education at. That is wildly different from what's going on here, okay? These are parents who have some money. They don't have, I'm going to build you a library money. Maybe they could underwrite a fellowship or a grant program or something like that. But the universities aren't as swayed by that. You know, you walk up to any university and you say, how would you like a building? They'll give you whatever you want. You walk into them and be like, how would you like me to fund a cultural exchange program? They're like, yeah, no. We'll take care of that on our own. Thanks. Send your kid in through the normal process. But of course, they have to have their kids go be seen at all the right places and go to the right colleges so that they can tell their friends, my child is a USC graduate. I mean, look, USC is a good school. It is. It's a great school. I don't know that I would ever risk my future relationship with my child to covertly install them there. You know, some of this was Yale. There were Yale students involved in this. That one I get. I can understand wanting your kid to go to Yale. But in some of these cases, it was just get my kid into a college. Get my kid into a college with a semi-respectable reputation so that I'm not sitting here saying, yeah, my kid went to Bunker Hill Community College. It's nothing wrong with Bunker Hill Community College, except in the eyes of that parent, in the eyes of that celebrity who must be seen and must go do the interview and must talk about, oh, my brilliant child is off at USC right now, don't you know? That's all they're looking for. And you have absolutely destroyed the relationship with your child for the sake of, what, scoring yourself something to talk about on Jimmy Kimmel? That's what you did this for? It's not good. It's not good. And these folks are going to be found guilty. I expect some of them are going to take no low contendere pleas. We talked about that last week. It's not an admission of guilt. You're basically saying, we accept what you say. We're not going to go to trial. Hand down the verdict. Give us the fine and we'll move on. And that's usually as far as it goes in that case. You never know. You know, the teachers who have taken bribes and pled guilty and the coaches who have taken bribes and pled guilty, they're pretty much going to get fines and they're going to be allowed to walk on this. I don't believe any of the children in this are going to face any sort of repercussions for it because in most cases, they didn't even know this was going on. Schools have kicked them out. That's fair given the circumstances. But again, maybe you want to look at that on a case-by-case basis and say, you know, kid's a good student. They're paying their own way to be here. Let them stick around. Let them finish it out. But the parents are the ones that you have to make an example of. And that's really what this is about. The whole purpose of having everybody come to Boston, everybody be photographed, and for Lori Loughlin to be walking in and somebody's yelling, why, Aunt Becky, why, is to shame them and to send a message to other parents who might be considering participating in similar scams that a similar fate will await them, that they too will be named, shamed, and have their lives ruined if they try and bribe their kids' way into college. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, national news. Somebody somewhere has gutted in. Let me back this up because I'm going to make a point. But there's another point that I have to make first. The 2020 election cycle has already begun. The election is next year. The candidates are already out. I made a pledge to you, the listener, that we would not talk about the 2020 election until later this year, until November, when the primaries were in sight and things were becoming real. I also said, unless something major happened. Something major has happened. And it doesn't seem major. It seems small. But it is a perfect example of why Donald Trump is going to win 2020. And I'm going to sit here right now and I'm going to make that prediction. 4 more years of Donald Trump. Brace yourself for that. 4 more years of Donald Trump. That's what you're going to get. That's what we're all going to get is 4 more years of Donald Trump. Whether some of you may want that. Some of you may say, hey, great, I love this guy. All right, fine. Some of you may be like, no, and there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you're painting your picket signs and getting ready to run outside and storm a public park somewhere. I know that we can do better. My take on it is every president is part good and part bad. And you hope at the end of the day that the good outweighs the bad. More often than not, that fails to happen. And you have to sit there and just sort of, if you like that president, you have to sort of cloak yourself in the good and say, look at all these wonderful things that this guy did. While everybody else is like, oh, you mean that guy that committed the war crimes? Or, oh, that guy that embezzled all that money? Or, oh, yeah, that guy that stepped all over the Constitution and took away our personal rights. Yeah, that guy. He was great. So you get some good and some bad with every president. This president, you get some bad. And a broken clock is right twice a day. But I'm just saying I'm not a partisan here, all right? I'm saying I want to see a robust 2020 election, and I would like to cling to the hope that someone less divisive might find their way into the White House so that we can all stop arguing amongst ourselves and deal with some real issues. The Democrats seem to be hell-bent on preventing that from happening. The Democrats are so busy destroying themselves that they are basically gifting Donald Trump the 2020 election, handing it to him. And let me say, if you believe that Elizabeth Warren is going to be elected president of the United States, you are as crazy as she is. It is not going to happen. Elizabeth Warren is not a mainstream presidential candidate. She will be rejected by the right. She will be rejected by moderates. She will be rejected by centrist people on the left because she is too extreme. Now, you can support her ideas, you can support her policies, but do not march forward believing that she has any chance at all of being president of the United States. She is too extreme. Same thing with Ocasio-Cortez. I know she's not running, but if she were to run, not going to be president of the United States. Cory Booker, maybe. Kamala Harris, maybe. Little less baggage there, a little bit more centrist. But you got a couple of candidates out there who I will tell you, Hillary Clinton is not one of them. You got a couple of candidates out there who would be really, really strong challengers against Donald Trump. People who could beat Donald Trump. People who could put an end to our long national nightmare and restore credibility and empathy and kindness to the highest office in the nation. People who could make the White House work again and not have constant turnover and firing by tweet. People who you wouldn't be embarrassed to talk about when you go to a foreign nation. There are people who could beat Donald Trump. But the Democrats are hell-bent on making sure those people are defeated before they get a chance to run. From Associated Press, aides to Joe Biden struck a more aggressive tone on Monday as the former vice president faced scrutiny over his past behavior toward women. Past behavior toward women. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden has been caught up in the Me Too scandal. In a statement, Biden spokesman Bill Russo blasted, quote, right-wing trolls, end quote. Okay, we can stop that, Bill Russo. From, quote, the dark recesses of the internet, end quote, for conflating images of Biden embracing acquaintances, colleagues, and friends in his official capacity during swearing-in ceremonies with uninvited touching. The move came on a day in which a second woman said Biden had acted inappropriately, touching her face with both hands and rubbing noses with her in 2009. The allegation by Amy Lapos, a former aide to Democratic Representative Jim Hines of Connecticut, followed a magazine essay by former Nevada politician Lucy Flores, who wrote that Biden kissed her on the back of the head in 2014. He kissed me on the back of my head. I froze. I didn't know what to do. It's the vice president of the United States. This is the Democratic Party 2019. You're going to tell me you stand a snowball's chance in hell of defeating the Trump machine with this. Joe Biden is the best candidate that you have. Americans love Joe Biden. Lunch Bucket Joe. Everybody loves Lunch Bucket Joe. We spent 8 years under Obama with everybody being like, you know what? Why isn't Joe Biden running the country? I like Joe Biden. Joe Biden's a guy I can sit down and have a beer with. Okay? But in the middle of having the beer with Joe, if we need to drop some bombs on somebody who is trying to invade another country, Joe will be like, hang on a second, let me go deal with this. And he'll go take care of that and he'll come back and you'll finish your beer. This is a man whose experience and attitude and ideas make him uniquely qualified to be the president of the United States. And yet we have Amy Lapos, Lucy Flores coming out and saying he touched me inappropriately. He put his hand on my shoulders and kissed the back of my head. By the way, I've started doing this thing to my wife where I'll walk up behind her and put my hand on her shoulders and kiss the back of her head and then yell, "You got Bidened!" and walk away. People think it's hilarious. Maybe try it with someone. Don't do that with a stranger. Don't do that with a stranger. This is not cool. But like someone that you love, just like walk up behind him, kiss him on the back of the head. "You got Bidened!" I'm not trying to make fun of sexual assault here, but this is insane. This is insane. Okay, Joe Biden, as the photographs that are online, there's entire collages now of Joe Biden like kissing people. Joe Biden belongs to the kissing babies era of American politics before millennials came along and said, "I have a 5-foot safe zone around me that you may not invade. You may not touch me under any circumstances. Please do not look at me for more than 3 seconds. That is harassment. You are harassing me." Joe Biden is being a supportive and affectionate guy. By the way, his wife does the same thing. She kisses people. Oh my God. Unfit to run, unfit to be president of the United States. Never mind the guy in the White House right now is on audio talking about how he likes to grab women by the private parts. No. Joe Biden kissed the back of someone's head. Unfit to run. That's what these people are saying. Joe Biden is unfit to be president of the United States because he behaved affectionately toward a peer. This is where the Time's Up movement has taken us. This is where we're at. Joe Biden, the most qualified Democrat, hasn't even announced that he's going to run yet, and is on top of the polls. Only person who's close to him, Bernie Sanders. Beto O'Rourke is moving up. And I'm interested to see what Beto O'Rourke has to say, if he has to say anything. Because right now, he seems to be getting by just on being Beto O'Rourke. And people are happy enough that, "Oh, hey, it's Beto O'Rourke. We love that guy. What does he stand for?" It's Beto O'Rourke. We love that guy. I love Beto O'Rourke because there are a lot of ways I can relate to him. All right? He's a former hacker. I was never a hacker, but I was involved in computer programming and computer coding back in the early days, like earlier than him. So I recognize that little bit of nerdiness there and the way it affects your thinking. He's a former punk rocker. I'm down with that. You know, those are all bonuses for me. He's a Gen Xer. He's my people. I'm on board with that. I'm on board with Biden. I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to vote for him. I can't say that. FCC won't allow me to say that. But I'm saying that as a presidential candidate, Joe Biden is a pretty good one. The developments underscored the challenge facing Biden should he decide to seek the White House. He has been Me Too'd. Joe Biden has been Me Too'd. Joe Biden has been Time's Up'd. Not by right-wing trolls. The AP, by the way, is right that the right-wing trolls are the ones who are putting together those photo collages of Joe Biden, like, kissing people and hugging people in all these different situations on the campaign trail because he belongs to the kissing babies era of American politics. But this attack is very distinctly coming from the left. Amy Lapos worked for Democratic Rep Jim Hines of Connecticut. Nevada politician Lucy Flores was a Democrat. Joe Biden was there to lend his support to her campaign when he crossed the line by kissing the back of her head. Following historic wins in the 2018 midterms, Democratic politics is dominated by energy from women. The allegations could leave the 76-year-old Biden, long known for his affectionate mannerisms, appearing out of touch with the party as the Democratic presidential primary begins. Lapos told the Associated Press that she and other Himes aides were helping out at a fundraiser in a private home in Hartford, Connecticut in October 2009 when Biden entered the kitchen to thank the group for pitching in. Quote, "After he finished speaking, he stopped to talk to us about how important a congressional staff is, which I thought was awesome," Lapos said. She said she was stunned as Biden moved toward her. Quote, "He wrapped both hands around my face and pulled me in," said Lapos, who is now 43. "I thought, oh God, he's going to kiss me. Instead, he rubbed noses with me. Biden said nothing, she said, then moved off. She said the experience left her feeling, quote, weird and uncomfortable, and was, quote, absolutely disrespectful of my personal boundaries. There it is. Absolutely disrespectful of my personal boundaries. You, Joe Biden, may not be the leader of the free world and the candidate the Democrats need because you disrespected Amy Lapo's personal boundaries. You're done, man. It's over. You're gone. You're gone. You're part of the problem. You and all the rest of the old white man, the patriarchy. That's all you do, going around holding women down. Well, in your case, holding them and kissing them on the back of the head. Just as bad. Just as bad. How can we move forward as a people? How can we move forward as a nation, I ask you? If Joe Biden is allowed to just go around grabbing people, kissing them, Eskimo kisses, kissing babies. Democrats, you're doing this to yourselves. And the Republicans are laughing all the way to the top of the polls. All the way to the top of the polls. Because the Republicans, let me tell you something about average Republicans, okay? There may be some folks in flyover country that are like, yeah, Trump good. You know, we like, and pretty much every Republican is going to sit there at the end of the day and say, you know what? He is our guy. For better or for worse, he's our guy. And he's in there, and he's our best path to stay there right now for the next 4 years. So we're going to swallow it, we're going to suck it up, we're going to deal with it. Okay? All the never Trumpers that you saw in 2016, they're going to quiet down. You're not going to see Mitt Romney leading some kind of rear guard action from the Utah Senate seat in 2020. Everyone's going to quiet down, let the money quietly flow to Donald Trump. Let him go through the debates, let him do his thing, and let him get his 4 more years. The Democrats, meanwhile, are out there trying to take down their best candidate. Because he hugged some people? Because people had their personal boundaries violated? As if Joe Biden is some molestation machine working his way around Washington, D.C. and working his way through people's homes. You know what? Put yourself behind a velvet rope and say, Joe Biden can't come here. If you don't want to be touched by him. Or you see him walk into a room, run away. It's like, oh my God, it's Joe Biden. Oh, no, that's right. You have a right to be wherever you want. And the real problem is that Joe Biden should know better than to touch you. We're talking about a guy. I think this thing where he's giving the Eskimo kiss, I'd be weirded out by that, if I'm honest. I'd be like, wait, what? Who does that? If he's putting his hands on your shoulder and kissing the back of your head as you're about to get up and give a speech, that's called encouragement. That's called supporting somebody. That's called caring about somebody. That's the way my generation was raised by previous generations, which is we show affection toward one another. We don't recoil from it as if touch is going to destroy us. We're not all germophobes. We're not all terrified of touch like a lot of these millennials are, a lot of these young people are. This is insanity. Joe Biden kissed my head. He cannot be president of the United States. That's the angle that's being pursued here. And what I would love to know, and some people are asking this question, interestingly, they happen to be people on the right, which I find fascinating. People on the right are asking this question, not people on the left. Who dug this up? Who dug this up? There's no criminal charges here. There's no criminal charges you could even file over something like this. These people are coming forward and being put in front of the press, being put in front of a press that is receptive to their story. Because a lot of times you could call up a reporter and say, you know what, Joe Biden like hugged me and it made me feel uncomfortable. And the reporter's going to be like, yes, and like, that's not news. I don't have time for this. Even if you're a senator, even if you're, you know, if you're Dianne Feinstein, call up a reporter and be like, you know, Joe Biden touched me one time. Like, define touch. Well, he hugged me. Okay, we're not going to follow that up. Did he hug you for too long? Did he grope you somewhere? Did he hug you? Yeah. Not a story that we're going to follow up. So it took finding a reporter who would make a big deal out of this. And finding somebody to come forward and say, oh my God, he kissed the back of my head. I was assaulted by Joe Biden. He's unfit to be president. She hasn't said he's unfit to be president, but that's the direction that this has gone. That's the direction the Democrats have taken it. Democratic National Committee, no. They're like, please stop this. They're the only sane people in the room on the Democratic side. They're the ones who are sitting there saying, please stop this. Do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand that you are torpedoing the best candidate that we have? Because we're not sure Bernie can win. Because a lot of people in America, not liking the socialism thing. We want Joe Biden to be the guy. Can you please not do this? We're going to stand by Joe. Of course, Nancy Pelosi has come out. She's been like, I'm standing by Joe. He's going to keep his hands to himself from now on, but I'm standing by Joe. But there are people on the right, or people on the left, who are saying that Joe Biden is unfit to be president, that Joe Biden should not run. This benefits someone. Who? Is it Elizabeth Warren? Kirsten Gillibrand? Who benefits? Who wins? You find the answer to that question, and you will find out why this story comes forward now, right on top of Joe Biden's expected announcement of his candidacy for president of the United States. And you will also find out who is likely behind this. Because whoever got this politician, these politically connected people, and these reporters together is the one that will benefit the most. Somebody does not want Joe Biden to run. Somebody does not want Joe Biden to run because it hurts their chances of being president. Could we possibly be talking about corruption? Yes, we actually are talking about corruption here. That's what this is. This is another form of corruption. Somebody is trying to keep Joe Biden out of the race because they're afraid he will destroy their chances of being president. That's not how this works. That's not how you do this. And it's certainly not how you do this if you are a long-shot, dark-horse candidate trying to unseat Donald Trump, who, whether people on the left want to admit it or not, is popular enough. Is he the most popular president in U.S. history? No. Is he popular enough? Can he maintain an approval rating around 50%? Heading into the 2020 election, it looks like he can. And if he can, he's already going to be very difficult to overcome. If Democrats think the solution to that is to get rid of Joe Biden, to get rid of Bernie Sanders, and to run Elizabeth Warren, well then, you may as well book your trip to Trump's inauguration right now. Because it will happen. And there is nothing that will stop it from happening. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. I am here solo tonight. Chase Spillane will be back next week to catch you up on everything that's going on. On the Tell Mikey D is coming up in just a few minutes to talk about everything you need to know in the Boston music scene. Stick around for that. I think there's a live band coming in tonight. I see lights on over there. I'm going to keep the corruption angle going. We talked about the Varsity Blues thing a little bit ago. And I said this is sort of the classic issue, classic image, I should say, of corruption. When you hear the word corruption, there's a picture that probably forms in your mind of somebody handing a pile of money to somebody else to make something happen. That's bribery. And that is the most common form of corruption, whether it is somebody bribing a politician to get favorable treatment or someone bribing a business owner to get contracts. We all recognize bribery. We all know what it is. We've all seen it somewhere. Some of us remember Abscam and how much fun Abscam was back in the early 1980s, you know, when we had people pretending to be foreign diplomats and capturing Congress people on tape. That's only one of the many forms that corruption takes, however, and this is a slightly more devious, unexpected form of corruption. Surge pricing is something that we've talked about. it's shown up here in Boston because Boston has mountains of traffic, as we all know. We're sick of the traffic. We're all sick of the traffic. Somebody in New York City, well, New York City has gone ahead and passed surge pricing. Surge pricing is going to be a thing in New York City starting in a couple of years. And you might be surprised to know who one of the major backers of this movement was. From the New York Post, which, by the way, is not one of your finer news outlets. I'm aware of this. I will say this about the New York Post. They get their facts right most of the time. And they are very punchy and very to the point, which in this environment is helpful. Uber. You remember Uber, right? They're the rideshare service. Uber spent $2 million since 2015 in a campaign to approve congestion pricing, the company confirmed Wednesday. Not only is Uber on board with this, Uber is crowing about it. Uber is saying, hey, guys, look, we're all about congestion pricing. We want to raise the price that people pay to drive in New York City. How the heck did that happen? What? Why are you doing this? What is this all about? Uber, $2 million to support surge pricing in New York City. Because they care about the environment? Because they care about the quality of life in New York City? No. This is corruption. This is a very particular type of corruption. This is a type of corruption that surrounds you every day, but one that you don't necessarily see because most companies that engage in this form of corruption are smart enough not to go on the internet and say, yeah, that's right. We did that. We're dropping bombs. We're getting the laws writ. We're changing everything up to benefit ourselves. Ain't nothing you can do about it because we're Uber. Oh, yeah. I'm going to explain how this scam works. And I'm going to explain why you should be concerned about this. I'm going to raise the question of where the hell are the politicians while this is going on. But we're going to do that in just a minute. First.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Here, Boston 5-day forecast.
Since my man.
Spring?
And I.
Yes. Spring is coming back, my friends. No, you won't necessarily notice it tonight as the temperatures fall back into the mid-30s. But tomorrow, under partly cloudy skies, we're going to get up to 50 degrees. Okay, that's warm. That's nice. Back down around freezing tomorrow night. And then on Friday, we got one more, like, cold, raw day. Highs in the mid-40s on Fridays. Lows, however, in the upper 40s on Friday. And you know what that means? Saturday's going to be nice. Partly cloudy skies, maybe a shower. Highs in the mid-60s. Temperatures in the mid-40s Saturday night. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy. Chance of a shower. Highs in the mid-50s. Lows in the mid-40s Sunday night. And then 50 until this time next week. So we get through a little bit of a raw day on Friday, and then we're going to have a real lingering taste of spring to enjoy here in the Boston area. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. I'll be with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Shea Spillane will be with you again next week. We will continue celebrating spring, and don't forget, when I come back, I'm going to explain not just the corruption angle, but a broader question involving these rideshare services that makes me wonder if the politicians are paying attention at all here on WMFO Medford.
Old people talk to themselves. When they sit all around all day, this old woman I knew, I used to go over there, sit with her, and she'd be sitting around in a rocking chair talking to herself, and she used to say, She used to say, sometimes the cold gets in my bones so bad till I just don't think I can go on. Yeah, and for a little while, well, I don't care if my days are coming to an end, I just as soon be gone sometimes. Sometimes the night comes down on me and I know what's ahead. An evening in this cold old house with no one to say goodnight to me when I go to bed. An evening in this cold old house with no one to say goodnight to me when I go to bed. Sometimes I wonder why I stay, what am I waiting for? My children are grown and gone away, they got children of their own now, don't need me anymore. Winter, when the streets are bare, there are nothing much to see. I just can't help missing and thinking about that kindly man that one old winter time came and took away from me. And then one morning, another spring is there outside my door. Things are blooming, birds are singing, and suddenly, yes, well, I ain't sad no more, ain't sad no more. When it's warm and the sun is out, it's like my heart's restored. I've had my love, I've had my children, and I have so many memories. So don't mind me complaining what the years may bring, 'cause this old world has been fine with me, really. And I'm thankful for seeing another spring. It's gonna be better this time. Another spring. It's gonna be groovier this time. Another spring. It's what's happening this time. So I'm thankful for letting me see another spring.
Sirloin is a popular family steak. All sirloins are excellent eating, but there are some slight differences. To get the most lean meat for your money, look for a sirloin steak with a round bone. To get the most tender sirloin, look for one with a long, flat bone. You can broil or pan broil sirloin steak if it's graded USDA Prime, Choice, or Good. If you want more tips on buying steak, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary with you in